Frangela. We talked to them yesterday. Hal Sparks, we're talking to him tomorrow. We had Stephanie on about 2 weeks ago. And John Fugelsang is kind enough to join us once again to talk about coming into town here. Of course, you can hear John on his podcast, which is available on Sirius and available everywhere you get a podcast. And if you're not subscribed, you're wrong. That is brilliant stuff. You can get to that every day, or most days. They're weekdays, right, that you put the podcast out?
Podcast is every day, whether you want it or not, yes.
John, good to see you, my friend.
It's so great to be back on the Matt McNeil show. Can I just say that? You know, Matt McNeil is a legend in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. Yeah. And when Matt was first offered his option of parole, a lot of people thought a radio show was not the way to go. His parole officer advised against it. But look at how he's done such a great job. Matt, thank you for inspiring me all the time. And I don't even want to talk about why you're not allowed to run a Cub Scout pack. It's just a pleasure to be on your show.
I do, and I've gotten used to the ankle bracelet. I work around with the fans on that. I'm so glad, and this is a huge deal, MSP. They're starting the tour here, and so we need to sell out Pantages. We need to get as many people in there as possible. It's just going to be great. I talked to you last time about this. The idea of you guys going on tour, because it's been so long. You've done some individual shows, but the full tour, this is just awesome.
We have not actually played in Minneapolis. I mean, we played the state a couple times. Yeah. We've played the Pantages before, but I don't think we've actually done a full show in Minneapolis since 2017. Wow. So it is really the time right now. If any of your listeners have ever been to one of these shows, they know that it's sort of like this unholy bacchanal of very depraved yet totally moral people. And it's the same thing. I used to call this tour like the blue collar comedy tour for smart people, because it's great to be in a room with a couple thousand other folks who feel the same way you do. Knowing there are no homophobes or transphobes or red hats in the room is an incredibly liberating feeling. And it's also just a really, really funny show. With this election, which is the most important election of our lifetimes,
yes,
just like the last six, and we thought we've got to get back on the road and do a real tour. So for the first time, we're doing it with Live Nation, Mr. McNeil, and we're really thrilled at starting off at the Pantages.
Well, and I had Frangela on yesterday, and they were talking about this. It's such a comfort, I think, not just Minneapolis. You're in Chicago, the Vic Theater in August. You're going to be going across the country. There's a comfort that comes with this, because you do sometimes question whether or not is this a consistent feeling across the country? Are the way I feel about how things are going, is this how a lot of people feel? And you guys coming into town, that's a comforting blanket. That's reassurance that no, this is not just you. It's not just there. The country is basically sees this tyranny coming on out here, and we need to address it straight on.
Yeah, and you're not going to get that from the mainstream corporate media.
Nope.
I'm a big fan of mainstream corporate media, but at the end of the day, you know, journalists care about the truth. Mm-hmm. Media cares about ratings. And media likes their Trump-sized ratings. They also don't like the guy who wants to tax the billionaires. So we're not going to get any kind of even coverage in the media. And I don't trust the polls either. I'm sorry.
Nope.
I think
polls
these days are... They're polls of people who answer their landlines during dinner hours, and polls of people who answer their cell phones when they don't know who's calling. I don't know, Matt. I don't think that's the most clear representation of the American electorate. So, you know, it's such an important election. There are so many forces at play trying to bring us back to the era of Donald Trump. He has promised to be so, so much worse. And I'm sorry, I think Roe v. Wade is going to just inspire so many more people,
yes,
to turn out and vote this time, to say nothing of the fact that they don't want a racist reality TV landlord who rapes people hiring judges. I don't care if Trump never goes to jail, Mr. McNeil. I don't want him picking any more judges.
You brought up two things. I want to tie them together and ask you about an issue or two. And this is Arizona. You did a whole podcast on there, so go listen to that. The Arizona ruling yesterday. Republicans try to act outraged by this. They're the ones who put these judges in place so they would rule this way. This is,
yes,
what they wanted to do. First of all, your thought on going back to 1864 to talk about any kind of health care language in any kind of bill.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first off, dogs who catch cars don't know how to be embarrassed.
Uh-huh.
Right? Dogs who catch cars just get beaten up by the car and then they move on. But Donald Trump brought us the end of Roe v. Wade and national protection of abortion rights. And now his party which is not the party of Lincoln. They are the party of John Wilkes Booth, and they are suffering a massive voter backlash, as you guys know. He thought he did something with his ridiculous little speech the other day, but now the Arizona Supreme Court said they have to adhere to this 1864 abortion ban, 56 years before women could vote, 110 years before women could have credit cards in their own name. And so this is what they're terrified of. For years, Matt, I will admit, I will confess, I thought the Republicans were using abortion as a vote racket, as a fundraising racket. I used to say, as long as politicians will have mistresses, abortion rights will be legal.
Yeah.
And I was smug about it. I didn't think they would ever give up their cash cow. Because again, if Republicans wanted abortions to stop, they'd support easier access to birth control. They'd support sex ed in the schools. We don't have an abortion problem. We have an unwanted pregnancy problem and an abortion conflict over that. So I thought, oh, they're never going to let it. This is all a racket, you dumb MAGAs. And then when Mitch McConnell decided the first black president should also be the first president to not get an up or down vote on his duly appointed Supreme Court nominee, that's when I realized, oh, my God, all bets are off. They really are trying to do this for real. And now they're seeing how stupid it really was. The American people don't support it. The Bible does not support it.
Yes.
The Bible is not against abortion. God is pretty much the least pro-life character in the book. At no point does God command government to incarcerate women. At no point is there any punishment for ending a pregnancy in the Bible. God asserts a fetus as property in Exodus 21. God gives abortion tips for unfaithful pregnant wives in Numbers chapter 5.
Yes, yes.
One time, God killed every fetus on earth with a flood because he felt like it. And if you right-wingers really think God thinks children are innocent life, wait till you learn about Passover for the very first time. Lindsey Graham says, we can't have abortion because it's not in the Constitution. And I read it, and he's right. But it doesn't mention Lindsey Graham either, Matt. So we got to play it safe and ban Lindsey Graham too.
I should also mention something you pointed out before. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus multiple times praises women for making their own choices. Multiple times he does that.
Jesus is the biggest feminist in the Bible. Parts of that book are like the gospel according to Ike Turner. But I mean, the women are the only ones who don't abandon Jesus. The women are the first ones that he returns to. Again, you don't need to believe the story as literal fact to know that right-wing Christians are against everything Jesus talked about. He's not their Messiah. He's their mascot. And for a lot of these people, their actual religion is criminalizing abortion and pretending they're better than you. Mm-hmm. Jesus was against the death penalty, never mentioned abortion. The only way you can follow both Donald Trump and Jesus is if you've never read either one of their books.
There's an interesting element of the Arizona ruling, which I almost wonder is this the point of the setup. Have you noticed, I mean, Carrie Lake immediately comes on out and she's like, oh, this is an atrocious bill. It's like they're born again Democrats. And they're trying to make it seem like, well, we had this compromise 15-week ban. Let's go back to that. They're trying to portray this as they're the moderate vote. And as I pointed out, it's like, well, you're still regulating women's choices. Choice means choice. It doesn't mean we go back to your restrictions at 15 weeks. But yet, this is across the country. There's this effort by the right to look at this. And I think to a point, we saw this with the in vitro fertilization ruling in Alabama, too, where, well, we're not that extreme, trying to sell their extreme light as moderate.
All damage control.
Yep.
That's all it is. You're exactly right. They know what they stepped in. It also shows they don't believe anything, Matt. Mm-hmm. I mean, look what Donald Trump did in his speech the other night. The two groups he needs the most, right, are the core evangelicals and the independents. Well, he said to the evangelicals, I'm not against abortion. If states want to have it, let them have as many abortions as they want. That pissed off that part of his base. And a smart Democratic billionaire like Mike Bloomberg might want to throw $1 billion into advertising the Right to Life Party in 7 swing states. As long as RFK Jr. is going to be doing that, why can't we do it too? And then the independents, who don't want to see any kind of abortion ban in any state. So he completely stepped in it. But then Carrie Lake, who... You know, I've met Carrie Lake. I was doing a series for Fox, and I was in Arizona, and she interviewed me, and I was mystified by this woman. She was a Fox News anchor, and she said to me, but I voted for Trump, but I'm not a racist. I supported Obama. And I was like, So what? You decided one day that climate science was a myth and that billionaires have it rough and abortion should be illegal? She believes in nothing. She believes in nothing but how she can get more power. So she denounces the 1864 law. Last fall, she said she supported it. Then yesterday, she says she opposes the ruling. Then she demands that Governor Katie Hobbs come up with an immediate, what she called, common sense solution that Arizonans can support, which is words that mean nothing. Yeah. Then she said the decision will be up to voters on the ballot initiative in November, which she actually is against. I mean, and no one asks her these questions. In the case of Donald Trump, he thinks he solved this. Someone needs to say to him, okay, so you think the state should decide, but if you're president and a bill banning abortion winds up on your desk, will you veto it? Do you really believe the state should decide? No one's asked Donald Trump about mifepristone and where he stands on that. I mean, these guys were just so greedy. They don't want to be Christian. None of them read the actual Bible. It's much easier to be anti-abortion and pretend you're better than other people. That's the real religion here. So they raced into this. Now they've done it. And now they've realized they're going to be unpopular for two generations. Oh, and this is going to drive so much voter turnout and so much more civic engagement. It's tragic they took Roe away, but I know a lot of good will come from this for women and for our democracy.
My daughter said, I had bodily autonomy when I was born and I don't have it now. And that is, that's something when your 20-year-old tells you that. The Florida, I wanted to bring in Florida as well. Rick Scott barely won that seat. Florida is not exactly a 20-point win for the right. They're going to have this abortion bill, on the ballot in Florida come election time. How much do you think that's going to impact Florida overall? I mean, they have to get to 60% to pass it, but I think you're going to get at least 5 to 10 points swing in one way or the other there.
Well, that's why it's really interesting now, because they don't just have the abortion bill on the ballot. They have the legalized weed bill on the ballot as well. So a lot of folks who might not have shown up to vote are going to be showing up to vote in the state of Florida. Now, I don't know if that's enough to put Florida in play. I don't know if that's enough to turn Florida purple, but it is enough to make the GOP spend tons of money they don't have defending a state they have taken for granted. And they don't have this money because Donald Trump has hired his untalented daughter-in-law to defile the RNC bank account like it's a Tom Petty song. And Lara Trump and her lip liner are going to be making sure that there's no money for congressional candidates at all in the RNC because E. Jean Carroll needs to go shopping.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. You are going to be – when you donate to the RNC – the worst thing about it is you don't know, is this money going to Donald Trump's rape lawyer, or is it going to his criminal fraud lawyer, or his insurrection lawyer, or his theft of classified documents lawyer, or his RICO conspiracy lawyer, or his campaign finance fraud lawyer? Oh, and that one starts next week. They are going to Donald Trump is a parasite on this party, sucking the blood out like a tick. And you're going to see a lot of candidates on the Republican side suffer because there's no money in the coffers because it's been turned into Donald's personal legal GoFundMe.
Do you think there's been any studies on how many people vote pro dope, turn around and vote anti-abortion? Because I don't think there's going to be a minuscule amount of those pro dope voters.
There's always going to be dude bros who only care about themselves and don't care about women's rights. And there's always going to be people who think, oh, anti-abortion, that's Christian. Just like, oh, anti-gay, that's Christian. Yeah. I mean, I talk a lot about the Bible in my act and on my show. And I always ask these Trumpers, give me one teaching of Jesus that MAGA fights for, that the Republican Party fights for. Give me one teaching of Jesus that conservative Christians fight for. The first answer I always get, Mr. McNeil, abortion, banning abortion. That I tell him, that's the Bible's not against abortion. Judaism isn't against abortion. Abortions are legal and free in Israel right now. Second thing they'll say, Matt, they'll say, well, a strong border, strong border. Then I got to say, dude, the only law about immigration or borders in the entire Bible, Old Testament and New, is the commandment to welcome the stranger. Y'all are against Jesus on this one. So then they'll say, he moved the American embassy to Jerusalem. And that's when you've got to say, this may shock you, MAGA, but Jesus never mentions the United States of America or our embassy. in the year 32 AD. Doesn't come up. I mean, they don't know the Bible. And the media is the villain here, because the media allows these charlatans to use Christianity as camouflage for their mean little club. And Democrats are afraid to call them out on their scriptural hypocrisy. And the media is terrified. Media's got to start asking these people questions about the faith they claim to follow. Because again, Jesus is just a prop they wave around. And I'm in the camouflage removal business, Mr. McNeil. Let them defend it on their own crappy terms.
We're going to get you some nice weather for when you're out here, man. It's going to be like 70 degrees, sunny skies. It's going to be a nice weekend for you.
It's great. By the way, I'm going to be selling Bibles outside the theater for anybody. So please come on down. My Bibles are autographed. Does Jesus autograph his Bibles? I don't think he does. We don't have loaves and fishes. I'm going to be selling fish bowl tacos. Fish bread bowl tacos. That's what we'll have. I mean, it's going to be a party over there, because everyone's sick of this. Everyone's embarrassed that we have to go through this pantomime again. And everyone's a little bit terrified that there might just be low enough voter turnout that RFK Jr. might be willing to never be invited back to Hyannisport again and throw this. So come on out. Let's have a big old party, and let's get very excited to be engaged for the next 6 months.
Absolutely. It is at the Pantages Theater. It is coming up this Saturday night in Minneapolis. Not only is John going to be there, Frangela is going to be there, Hal Sparks is going to be there, Stephanie Miller is going to be there, Cliff Schechter is going to be there. We're looking forward to talking to Cliff on Friday. John, as always.
And Matt McNeil is going to be there as well. Can we announce this?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm going to be up on the
McNeil
stage.
McNeil will be taking the stage to welcome the rabble at the top of this show. So everyone, this is now your chance to actually try to grope Matt McNeil in person. Come on down. He will be coming up first, and he will be getting the crowd on fire.
Rotting fruit not allowed. FYI, just that you can't.
That's allowed, but they usually save that for my act. You'll be safe. Don't worry.
If you haven't seen John's act, it is brilliant. You're going to love. I mean, you're going to get four great talents out there. John himself it is worth every bit of the price of admission.
No.
It is.
You're too kind.
Oh, you're too good, man. You are too good. John Fugel sang Stephanie Miller, Sexy Liberal Show. Once again, Pantages Theater this weekend. John, as always, a pleasure to chat with you. The link for tickets, by the way, go to am950radio.com. We've got a link there. Go get your tickets right now. And John, as always, a pleasure to see you. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
I just want to say that Donald Trump is so disappointed in his media stock. He's now calling it Eric.
I think it's smarter than Eric still, though. John Fugel's saying, John, thank you very much. I appreciate
thank you,
it.
Sir.
Let's take
see
a break.
See
you this weekend, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show on your Wednesday.